This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. There are currently not enough donated corneas in the UK to help everyone in need of a transplant, so the NHS are encouraging eligible people to join the Organ Donors Registry. But what is a cornea transplant, and what can it mean for people who receive a donation? Well, we're joined today by Jackie Brander, Head of Operations in Donation in NHS Blood and Transplant, and Consultant Ophthalmologist Professor Fiona Carley to learn more. Hi Jackie, hi Fiona, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Hi.
So, first of all, why is a cornea transplant done?
We undertake corneal transplants for several reasons. Very simplistically, the cornea is the clear window into the eye. And so the analogy is it should look just like your lounge or bathroom window through which you can see life outside. But for various reasons, some patients suffer a problem with their cornea such that it becomes cloudy or out of shape or scarred. And as such, it's a bit like putting a thick set of curtains up in front of you so that you can no longer see out through that window. And that can really affect people on a day-to-day basis. It can really affect their quality of life. It can lead them to no longer be able to drive, no longer be able to hold down their job. For many of our older patients, not being able to interact with their grandchildren. So there's huge reasons why we do corneal transplants, but of huge benefit to the vast majority of our recipients. But really, we want to give them back that clear glass window through which they can see life. I can take patients who are moderately sight impaired, but by restoring back their fine vision and their colour vision, they can go back to their arts and crafts and see colour for how it really was. For patients whose occupations really rely heavily on colour definition, so artists and so forth, I can take that also then, as I say, to an elderly patient living on their own who's wholly responsible or needing other carers to come in. I vividly remember one patient turning around and actually being able to see their grandchildren for the first time in 6 years. I can vividly remember a very elderly patient who could see for the first time in years reporting to her daughter, in inverted commas, "You've let yourself go, haven't you?" But that beautiful interaction, that cheekiness that sometimes is lost. And each patient is different and each patient has a different story. But I'm overwhelmed sometimes with just the difference it makes. And it is very variable. But to bring people back to navigational vision means a lot. But actually for artists and so forth, bringing them back to actually being able to take on their lifelong passion are just some of the stories that get told.
How do the corneal transplants work?
Again, the analogy really is we just want to bring about that clear window, which light can then travel through, but also it focuses light as well. So we do corneal transplants really, as I say, for when the cornea has either become very out of shape or very cloudy, and that can happen through many pathological processes. The interesting thing now is historically we used to do a full thickness transplant. So that's like taking the whole pane of glass away and replacing that. Nowadays, we are much more bespoke. So the cornea is made up of multiple layers and we can actually fine tune the type of graft that we do now to the type of pathology. So, for example, again, imagine double glazed windows. Sometimes the inner pane of a cornea can fail, leading to, if you like, condensation and cloudiness. So in those patients that we're able to actually take out that inner pane of glass and then utilize the inner pane of the donor cornea to restore corneal clarity. Other times the cornea has gone out of shape, and so we can remove the front part of that window, leaving as much of the normal cornea as we can do, and then use corneal tissue to improve the shape of the cornea. So again, patients can then see. So multiple ways that the cornea can perhaps not work well, but equally now multiple ways that we can utilize corneal tissue to bespoke a more clear cornea for patients and a clear cornea that can also focus light.
That sounds really helpful to be able to adjust depending on exactly what the person needs.
Yeah, our knowledge of the cornea has risen exponentially probably in these last two decades. So since the turn of the millennium, the ability for us to be able to bespoke the type of surgery that we do has just leapt on. And where that does actually allow us to do is that there are now these possibilities of actually being able to use donor tissue for more than one recipient. And that's just a phenomenal thing to do when you think about it. You know, a single donation could potentially bring sight back to two people rather than just the one. So, you know, the whole concept of corneal donation is just an amazing thing, and just how many patients have the benefit of improving their eyesight.
If people have a corneal transplant coming up and they want to get more information, where is the best place for them to go and learn more about that?
I think it really depends on where they are. I suspect, obviously, organisations like the RNIB, for example, will have a lot of patient information leaflets. But my strongest advice is that, obviously, for most people, their own local optometrists will be guiding them through aspects of corneal health and ocular health. And so for most people, it's their optometrist that will actually identify if there's a potential problem with the cornea. Usually what will happen then is that the patients are referred up to their local eye unit, many of which have a dedicated corneal service. And it's for them to then, I suspect, meet with their corneal team. We all have our own patient information leaflets. Many of us now have corneal nurse practitioners. And even if people are a little bit overwhelmed by the information at their clinic visit, there's usually always a specialist nurse that they can then speak to afterwards. And at that point in time, you know, we have to discuss where the corneal tissue has come from. It's really important that patients do know that it has come from a donor, you know, a living individual who's passed away. The rigorous tests that we do, they have to understand why we're doing the surgery, what the benefits are, but equally they will need to know what the potential risks are. And such things as rejection is something that we do have to be mindful of, although very, very different from heart, lungs and livers. And I think people are probably a little bit shocked or surprised by the fact that it is very different from an organ donation and an organ recipient. And so my feeling is just I would encourage potential individuals to have a good chat with their surgeons and specialist nurses.
Absolutely. And Jackie, we've heard about some of the huge benefits that being an organ donor can have for people, and obviously having one cornea be able to potentially restore the sight in two people is just a tiny drop in the ocean of what organ donation can do. So why is it important for people to consider organ donation and discuss their wishes with their loved ones?
Yeah, it's really, really important, Amelia, for both organs and tissues, and obviously eye donation, because knowing your relative's decision, knowing their wishes, really, really is supportive for families at a time when they're considering donation. We know that if someone has opted in on the organ donor register, for example, around 90% or more of families will then go on to support that decision. So we really, really encourage that individuals firstly register their decision on the NHS Organ Donor Register, and secondly, share it with their loved ones, families and friends. Particularly thinking about eye donation and corneal transplantation, you know, for many that are listening, they've experienced firsthand the impact of having poor vision and so on. And I think they're in a really good position to advocate for the importance of eye donation and helping others, whether that's, you know, through organ donation, corneal donation and tissue donation. It can make a huge difference to other individuals following the death of a loved one. And in England alone, there's over 3,000 individuals listed waiting for a corneal transplant. It would be more than that across the devolved administrations. And for us as nurses within NHS Blood and Transplant, we approach the families of individuals who have died and ask them to consider eye donation for that reason. And it's really, really important in order for us to be able to meet that need in terms of being able to provide the corneal tissue for transplantation, which ultimately, you know, restores sight. It gives someone the gift of sight and all of those things that Fiona referred to earlier in terms of the difference it can make to individuals.
I think just to lend on from what Jackie's saying, I think that my experience is that the one thing I think that can make a difference is for families to be very open with each other about their wishes. It's very difficult because we all want to maintain our own mortality, don't we? We don't want to necessarily think about it. But I think the hardest thing is when, you know, families are approached and the answer might be, we just don't know. We don't know because we never had that conversation. And then individuals are very conflicted about whether or not to go ahead and obviously consent to donation, where in some respects, for that individual to say, no, I'd like to go ahead with the donation because it's the one thing I knew was really important to my loved one that they wanted to actually allow other people the opportunity to see. Because I think there can be nothing nicer. You know, what is an incredibly difficult situation to know that you're actually going ahead with the wish of that loved one. And I think that's when it perhaps it becomes an easier decision. It's when individuals never think that the inevitable may happen and haven't had that conversation. And that can be very difficult if you've known that one person for a long, long time to actually not know the answer to that question. So it is perhaps being a bit more open with close family members about what you would like to see happen. I don't know what Jackie thinks about that, but I think
No,
that always helps.
I think it's good for the public to know and for listeners to know that many people are in a position to donate their eyes and give the gift of sight. There are very few reasons why you can't go on to be an eye donor, which include hematological cancers or a neurodegenerative disease such as Parkinson's, dementia. But for many people, if they were to die in a hospice, in a ward or community setting or within our hospitals, they could go on to be a corneal donor and of course give others the gift of sight. There's no upper age limit for eye donations, which again, the public might assume that there is, but in fact, there isn't in this circumstance. So, really do encourage people to consider eye donation. For our nurses, when we're notified that someone has died and that we can consider eye donation, we will obviously be fully assessing that patient. You know, every patient's circumstance is individual and checking whether or not the patient had registered their decision on the organ donor register, speaking with family members, and making sure that that tissue is therefore suitable for transplantation.
And if people want to learn more about organ donation and find resources on how to talk to their loved ones, where can they go?
Yeah, so we've got an organ donation website that provides a lot of information on organ and tissue donation. But importantly, obviously, you know, as we said earlier, please encourage your listeners to register their decision to donate on the NHS Organ Donor Register. And also, it is accessible via the NHS app. So for anyone that uses that, there is a functionality now within the app to make that decision known also. So there are many, many ways. But again, really, really important to share that decision to help others after your death with family and friends.
Well, thank you so much, Jackie Brander and Fiona Carley, for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio. Learn more about the NHS Organ Donor Register by going to www.organdonation.nhs.uk/register-your-decision.